And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? The Bible says the Lord heard it. Here, Miriam and Aaron, they attack Moses. And they challenge his leadership. Remember, Moses is a man that was placed in this position by God. And as we read this text, it doesn't say a thing about how Moses attacked them back. It doesn't say a thing about how he got mad and really lined them out about what they said. All it says in verse 3 of the book of Numbers chapter 12 is that, Now the man Moses was very meek.
Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace. As always, we want to thank you for joining us this evening as we continue our series on the Beatitudes, a series of 8 blessings found in Matthew chapter 5. Have your Bibles ready as we start our lesson off in verse 5 with, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
This, of course, is our third Beatitude in this particular study. We've looked at, Blessed are the poor in spirit, which is the realization that apart from God, you're nothing. We became poor in spirit today that we were saved. The second Beatitude we looked at was, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the idea of this is God's people are those that mourn over sin. We did this at salvation whenever repentance was brought about in our hearts. And then we came for salvation in Christ Jesus. But we continually mourn over sin as we see it in our life and in the world that is around us. Tonight's blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What does the word meekness mean? Well, the word meek means a gentle, mild, submissive, and a humble spirit. Really, all four of those qualities are found in the word meekness. When you say someone is meek, they will be a person that is gentle, mild, submissive, and humble. That's the kind of spirit that they'll have. The sweet King of Israel, the Lord Jesus, in the book of Matthew chapter 11, when he describes himself, it says in verse 29, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. The Lord Jesus is described as being meek. And as you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, as you look at his life in the Gospels, you see his gentleness. You see how gentle he dealt with his disciples whenever they didn't understand things or whenever they did something that was wrong. You see how gentle and mild that at times he dealt with them. You see how submissive that he was to the will of his Father. And you see how humble he was. You look at his birth. He took upon the form of a servant and came to this earth. He rode upon a donkey into Jerusalem. He was just so humble and he's submissive and mild and gentle. All of these attributes that are part of meekness you see in Christ. So in God's people, of course, the Beatitudes, as I've told you before, are characteristics of God's people. Traits of those that are citizens of God's kingdom. They are poor in spirit. They mourn over sin and they are meek. So when we are meek, we are certainly being Christ-like. Jesus was the meekest man that ever walked this earth. And certainly it is expected in his followers, his disciples, his children. It is expected that meekness be one of the characteristics of their lives too. Every Christian should be characterized by meekness. Now, that's the reason why we're dealing with the Beatitudes, so that we can look at these qualities, these traits, and make sure that they are in our lives, so that if they are not, we can repent and pray that the Lord would work these things in us through the Holy Spirit. If you'll remember in the book of Galatians chapter 5, where the fruit of the Spirit is written, one of the traits of the fruit of the Spirit, whenever the Holy Spirit is controlling you, whenever you're walking in the Spirit or walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, one of the characteristics that you will display is meekness. So meekness is a trait that the Lord Jesus, of course, is known for, and it is to be a trait that we're known for also. Again, let me give you the definition: a gentle, mild, submissive, humble spirit. Now, that kind of gives you the idea of weakness, but take my word for it tonight. Meekness is indeed not weakness. The idea of the Greek word that was used here to describe the word meek was used to describe a horse that had been broken. Before, it was wild and untamed, and then it was broken, and then it was submissive to being ridden and gentle. It was used to describe the oxen that were under the yoke. Here you have the idea of the horse that had been broken and the oxen that were under the yoke. You have all this power of a horse, strength of the oxen, but at the same time it's power, but it's under control. Well, that's the idea of the word meek here. It's power, but at the same time it's submissive to the Lord. So when we're talking about a Christian, we're talking about someone that's gentle and mild and submissive and a humble spirit. They have power, but that power is under submission, under control by the Lord. Well, in order to have a full understanding of this word meek, blessed are the meek, as it says here in this beatitude, you got to look at it Godward and you have to look at it manward. And we're going to look at it, first of all, tonight, Godward. Meekness towards God is shown by being submissive to His Word and to His will. Certainly, when it says, blessed are the meek, we are to be meek in our fellowship and in our relationship with God. And what does that mean? It means we're to be submissive. You remember, part of the definition of meekness is being submissive, having a submissive spirit. And we are to be submissive, of course, to the Word of God. We are to submit to what His Word teaches us, what it tells us to do. In the book of James, chapter 1, I want to read you a text of Scripture as we talk about what it means to be meek towards God. And in the book of James, chapter 1, it says in verse 21, wherefore laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. There you have the word meekness. Receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. We show meekness towards God whenever we submit to His Word. And folks, we first submitted to God's Word the day that we were saved, the day that we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, was that when we became meek. In order to be saved, you do become meek. You have to realize that you can't save yourself. You realize that God's Word says that you're saved by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving His sacrificial death as the means of saving you. You realize God's Word says that, and then you submit to that and trust Him as your Savior. You see, there's a lot of people that realize that Jesus died and realize why He died. They realize He died for sinners, and they realize He rose again the third day. And they realize that if they would believe on Him and trust in Him, that they'd be saved. But at the same time, they've never done it. They've never submitted themselves to the Word of God by trusting it. My friend, you've got to become meek to be saved. And certainly that begins at salvation when you submit yourself to God's Word by receiving what God's Word says with regard to being saved. In the book of Romans chapter 10, a text I've read many times in our broadcast, it described the unbelieving Jew, or the Apostle Paul described the unbelieving Jew in his day. It says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness. Now listen to this, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. You see the word, you listen for the word submit. They, instead of submitting to trusting in Jesus as the Messiah, instead of submitting to trusting in His blood and His righteousness as the means of saving them, they refused to do that and went about trying to establish their own righteousness. And folks, many people are still like that today. They refuse to submit. They refuse to become meek with regard to God's plan of salvation. The Apostle Paul, before he was saved, he wrote about in the book of Philippians how he was of the tribe of Benjamin, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, and he was circumcised the eighth day. And he described all the things that at one time in his life he trusted in whenever he was a Pharisee. He was trusted in himself. He trusted in where he was born and who he was, and he was trusted in all of his deeds. But there came a day in Paul's life that he became meek, and he realized that he couldn't save himself, and he realized that Jesus of Nazareth indeed was the Messiah, and he submitted himself to the salvation which is by faith in Christ Jesus. Meekness begins, my friend, at salvation, and we're looking at meekness Godward, and meekness Godward is first shown by submitting to His Word, and we submitted to His Word the day that we were saved. We submitted to His plan of salvation. My friend, indeed, that's where meekness begins at. Remember, it says, the meek shall inherit the earth. We realize only the saved shall inherit the earth, the new earth. We realize that only the saved will inherit the earth. Well, here it says the meek will inherit the earth. So what's that tell you? The meek and the saved are to be the same people. And you became meek the day that you trusted in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. You submitted to God's Word and trusted Christ alone as the means of saving you. Well, we continue to submit to God's Word throughout our life. James 1 said we are to receive with meekness the engrafted Word. You know, as you go to church and the man of God stands in the pulpit, and I pray that you go to a church where the man of God stands in the pulpit and preaches from the Word of God. Folks, churches is anymore getting to be nothing but entertainment centers. People come to be entertained. Man, the church, according to the book of 2 Timothy, is a pillar in the ground of the truth. And one of the greatest instructions to the shepherds is that they are to feed their flock the Word of God. Well, as if you go to a church where you're fed, and I pray that you do, as you listen to the Word of God, it says you're to receive the Word of God with meekness. That means you're to submit to it. So the Word of God gives you doctrines that you need to believe about your salvation. The Word of God tells you things that you need to be doing. Well, as you said, and you listen to the Word of God, or as you're at your house and you're studying the Word of God, and you see these things, meekness submits to what the Word of God tells you to do. After I was born again, after I trusted Jesus as my Savior, I seen in the Scriptures where it taught after that you're saved, you're to be baptized. And I seen that, I submitted to baptism. I didn't submit to baptism to get saved. I was already saved. But my friend, when I seen God's Word commanded that after that you were saved, out of love and obedience to His Word, I submitted to that. You see, that's all part of meekness. Folks, there's a lot of the doctrines that I believe, and I preached on this broadcast, that when I first heard those, some of these things, oh, they offended me. And I heard the preacher preach certain things, and boy, I'd go up after the service was over and say, hey, I don't believe that. Well, I had a preacher that wouldn't argue with me, and he said, well, Jeff, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'll give you the Scriptures on this particular doctrine. I'll give you the where it's at in God's Word. And you don't take my word for it. You just go home and you open up the Word of God and you look at it and you see if that's what it says. And you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And Jeff, you submit to whatever the Holy Spirit directs you to do. That's what he did. Well, that's exactly what I did. And some of those things, many of those things that I found that I didn't believe in the beginning, once I searched them out and scripture and verse under the direction of the Holy Spirit, I found out that I need to submit to those teachings and accept them and believe them because they were indeed the Word of God. Folks, many times folks believe today things that they don't even have any idea where they're at in Scripture. They believe them because their preacher tells them, or they believe them because their mom and dad told them, or because their grandparents believed it. Folks, you need to know what you believe, why you believe it, where it's at, Scripture and verse in God's Word. And when you see it in God's Word, then you need to submit to it. Part of being meek Godward is being submissive to His Word. It began at salvation. But we continue to submit to God's Word throughout our Christian life. Sometimes God's Word instructs me to do things that, in all reality, my flesh doesn't want to do. But in meekness, you submit and you do. You submit your will to His. And you do what God's Word says to do. That's what meekness is. Being submissive to the Word of God and being submissive to His will. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's a great text of Scripture. It says, we know, Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, you'll notice that limits this. We know that all things work together for the good, not for everybody, but for them that love God. Of course, those that love God are those who have trusted in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, folks, this is a tremendous text of Scripture. It means that in my life and in all those who love God's life, God's going to cause all things, not just some things. It says all things to work together for the good. And there are some times that things happen in our lives, folks, that we just be honest with you, we don't understand how they could possibly be for the good. But we don't have all the information. God does. God's in heaven. He knows all things. And He's promised us in this text of Scripture that all things is going to work together for the good. Well, there's been times in my life that I've had things happen to me that when they happened, I begin to complain and I begin to quarrel. And I begin to question God and why He would do such a thing. And the whole time that I've done that, I didn't find no peace or rest. And it effectively kept me awake at night, worrying about things, until I come to the point that I become meek. I submit myself, Lord, I don't understand this thing, but I do understand this, that You're with me and that You're working all things out after the counsel of Your own will. And somehow, this thing that You permitted into my life is going to work together for the good. And Lord, I submit to it. And I'm going to trust in You. And You give me the grace. And my friend, when you submit, when you become meek and submit to His will, then, my friend, you get peace and you get rest. Folks, that's meekness Godward. Meekness Godward is shown by submitting to His Word and submitting to His will. And it began at salvation, and it has continued to grow throughout your Christian life. Now let's talk a little bit about meekness manward. Remember the definition of meekness that we gave at the beginning of the broadcast. It means a gentle, mild, submissive, humble spirit. And certainly we're to display that towards our fellow man, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We show meekness by seeking to restore our brothers and sisters if they fall. But Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, it says if a man be overtaken in a fault, the idea of that is for first and falls into sin. Sometimes in churches, sometimes people fall into sin, to get out of the will of the Lord, to get out of fellowship with the Lord, to get out into areas where they don't have no business being. Well, what are we to do? It says we which are spiritual are to restore them. But it says we're to do so in a spirit of meekness. One idea of the word meekness, remember, it means in a spirit of gentleness and a gentle humble manner is the idea of how we restore them. It stands opposed to restore them in a mean, hateful, vengeful way. Man, you never win anybody back that way. You'll drive them farther away. Someone falls into sin and you go in there in a vengeful, mean, hateful, arrogant attitude. My friend, you won't restore them back. You'll drive them farther away. We're to go in meekness, in a gentle spirit. The word restore there means was a word that was used when someone broke an arm. And you're to set it back aright. Man, if someone's setting our arm back aright, we want them to do it gently. And to set it back aright because a broken arm can be used again. Well, we're to do so in a spirit of meekness, considering ourselves. See, we're to be humble and we're to be gentle towards our brothers and sisters in Christ that are grown weak and fallen away. In a meek manner. So we're to be meek towards our brothers and sisters. Meekness mannered it also shown by not having to have your own way. When there's no doctrinal issue at stake. In the book of Philippians chapter 2. Book of Philippians chapter 2 it says. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Notice what it says. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. My friend, if you're going to be meek manward, not only do you seek to restore those that fall away in a spirit of meekness, humbleness, gentleness, but you also don't have to have your own way all the time. My, when you get people in churches, and that, you know, churches split and have so much conflict and trouble in it because many times you got folks that have to have their way or it's going to be the highway. And that's why they have so much problems in them. Boy, if everybody was meek, if everybody had the characteristic of meekness to the degree that they need to have in churches, they'd never split over trivial things like many times that they do. My friend, if there's no doctrinal issue at stake, there's times we let our brothers and sisters have their way. They might want to paint the church a certain color, or they might want to do a certain thing. There's no doctrinal issue at stake. It doesn't affect salvation by grace. Man, I don't care what color you paint a church, or how you position a pew, or what you do in these type of trivial matters. You hear so much trouble happen in churches, and really, what it is just the flesh. People acting like little children, having to have their own way. Meekness is being submissive to the will of others. Esteeming others better than yourself. That's the other idea of the word meekness, manward. And let me give you some more ways that meekness is shown manward. Meekness is shown by not taking vengeance whenever you're provoked. Not taking vengeance whenever you're provoked. The Bible says, vengeance is man. Talking about the Lord. Vengeance is man. I will repay, saith the Lord. We talked about the Lord Jesus Christ earlier as being the meekest man that ever lived on this earth. Indeed, that is true. But the Bible mentions another meek man in the Old Testament scriptures, and that was Moses. And here we're told about a situation where Miriam, his sister, and Aaron, his brother, spake against Moses. Man, his own brother and sister. And it says because of an Ethiopian woman that he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman, it said. And they spake against Moses because of that. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Bible says the Lord heard it. Here, Miriam and Aaron, they attack Moses and they challenge his leadership. Remember, Moses is a man that was placed in this position by God. But as we read this text, it doesn't say a thing about how Moses attacked them back. It doesn't say a thing about how he got mad and really lined them out about what they said. All it says in verse 3 of the book of Numbers chapter 12 is that the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. Now you think about having such a testimony as that in Scripture. Moses was meek, very meek, it says, above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. Now, my friend, that is a tremendous testimony. But why is it mentioned here? Because he was being provoked here. His own brother and sister challenged him, challenged his leadership, accused him of bad doing here. But it doesn't record Moses doing anything in retaliation back against them. You know why he didn't? That's a sign of meekness. Meekness manward is showed by not retaliating back. Instead of retaliating back, you turn that thing over to the Lord and you let Him take care of it. Well, that's exactly what happened in this case. In verse 4 it says, "The Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, and come up ye into the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And boy, I want to tell you, I don't have time in the broadcast to read all of the book of Numbers chapter 12, but you can read about it. God brought chastening upon Miriam because she questioned Him. Matter of fact, she was struck with leprosy, the text says. And then Moses prayed for her. You see, meekness is not shown whenever it's provoked. If a person is meek, they turn that vengeance over to the Lord. And they don't hold a grudge when a person repents either. My friend, that's all part of meekness. Meekness is not high-minded. The book of Romans chapter 12 says we're not to be high-minded and arrogant, but we're to be humble in the way that we think. That's how meekness shows itself manward. So now we've looked at meekness manward, and we've looked at meekness Godward. And what does it say the blessing of being meek is? They shall inherit the earth. Those that are submissive to the will of God and trust in Messiah Jesus, those whose lives will be characterized by this trait of meekness because of the Holy Spirit that indwells them, they shall inherit the earth. Now that's the new earth. Book of 2 Peter chapter 3 says, "Nevertheless, we according to His promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." My friend, I look forward to that new earth, don't you? This old earth is filled with so much wickedness and sin. But my friend, there's coming a new earth that is reserved for the meek, the people of God. And on that new earth will be nothing but perfect righteousness forevermore.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening, or you can join us anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.